Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I would there be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello, hello. What's up, Smith?
I'm Smith. That's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Webb, this is Wager Maker Podcast number 30 already.
Number 30. Nolan Ryan, baby.
Nolan Ryan. That's about as good as it gets. I didn't even think about Nolan Ryan. I think
absolutely.
It was some hockey player on there when I looked it up.
Martin Brodeur.
Yep. And then
it's a Jersey guy, Jersey Devil.
Right. Yeah. It was the goalie for.
He was good. Yeah.
They also had Terrell Davis. Was a good one, but obviously Nolan Ryan is as good as he get. I was even thinking a real throwback to old Yankee kids from the 70s. Willie Randolph was number 30 when he played second base.
I didn't know that.
Back for the Yanks. So 30, that's a good one. But if Nolan Ryan's number 30, he takes the cake, man.
He's the old Texas fireballer.
I'm down with that. No problem. Webb, I'm super excited. It's the 2019 is behind us.
That's right.
The NFL regular season is behind us.
Forget about it.
Oh, our first year of podcasting is behind us. We're on to 2020, and it's the NFL playoffs, Webb. We got playoff games this week. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited.
Yeah, can't wait. Interesting matchups, too. I'm happy to see the Bills in there and the Titans.
Yeah, some new teams.
I like the way they play.
I like the way the Bills play. They play hard D, and their quarterback is a good young I think underrated kind of guy. He can move around a little bit and stuff like that. His athletic ability is underrated, I think.
I think he had 9 touchdowns.
Right. Right. And he was on my fantasy. He brought me to the fantasy Super Bowl, and he even got one against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but it wasn't enough. I was playing against Lamar Jackson. He was just a little too much. So, and how about for Tennessee, that turnaround with Tannehill once he came in?
Yeah,
it's been something else.
I saw something what we were talking about earlier. I think he's played 9 games, I think, and 8 of those 9 games have gone over. And they're averaging, I don't know, 30-something points. And that's just, a complete 180 from when you think about the Titans. It's like, automatic on default, put the under in on the Titans. But it's exactly the opposite now.
So. Right. They'd be playing sloppy, handing all ball off to Henry.
Yeah, 100 times. Yep.
And just kind of getting some playing D. They got a new field goal kicker. They've been like 8 of 18 or something ridiculous on field goals this year.
That's crazy.
They said, but it's the first time that ever the dude that's basically kicking for a team in the playoffs hasn't really kicked any kicks for them all season long or something like that. I saw something like that. But you can't be any worse than what they've been doing. So man, the alignment came down, and NFL wanted parity. They did a long time ago to try to
really
get the parity.
Yeah.
This NFL season came down to inches on the last night of the season.
That was crazy.
About where teams were going for us. Oh, big time. Big time. About where
that's
teams
a touchdown
were
there. That's a couple grand.
Shit. We were on Seattle. We were on the over. We were on the Seattle second half. All this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. Came down to inches.
Seattle second half saved it. That would have been turned into a big day right there.
Yeah, it would have been a big, nice way to end the season with a couple pops there.
Yeah.
What a difference an inch made. And then a lot of big deal about the NFL puts in this pass interference rule. And then it comes down to pretty blatant pass. Like I thought it was for exactly like plays like this. I mean, we talked about this as the season started. I thought it was exactly for plays like this that, this game, San Francisco went from possibly being a 5 seed to being a number 1 seed. And Seattle, by losing it, they could have been a 3. They go down to a 5.
They're on the road, right?
Yep. And now the Saints, because of this game, don't even get a bye week, even though they're 13-3. Look, you got to handle your business. They had a chance to beat the 49ers themselves and couldn't do it. But, man, and even that Packers game came down to the wire when nobody thought the Lions would beat the Packers.
Rodgers looked like shit. Right. Wow, what's going on with him? He looked bad.
So the Saints were close to getting that bye week but didn't come through. But we'll talk a little bit about the Saints and the playoffs, obviously. I'll be talking about that shit a lot.
That's all right. We've got one more week of it. But, no problem.
Right. So one more week. You didn't even hear about the Saints in the playoffs for weeks. Listen, I'm about to go on one of my rants, Webb.
That one pissed the goalie on you.
The Saints, nah.
Well, let's go back here just for one second. Let's go back to the Seattle game. But let's see how come or why you think Pete Carroll can sneak under the – or not this crazy uproar over that the delay of game penalty. They were on the fucking 1-inch line and they get a delay of game, and then not even having the timeouts. I mean, Pete Carroll, listen, you can't argue the guy kind of, look at that team. They're not the most talented team and they're in the playoffs every year. But that was huge. I mean, it wouldn't even have come down to that play at the end. It could have handed the ball. It could have gave it to Beast Mode was in the game there, and had to take his fat ass out when they went back to the 6-yard line. So then that changed everything.
It's funny. I think I was watching the game, right, and I kind of saw the indecision, you know, mm-hmm. and all I thought about was that year that they were in that situation, in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and they were in that same situation. And there was such a big controversy over why they didn't hand the ball off to Beast Mode then. And Russell Wilson, sure enough, threw the interception to Butler on the Patriots and cost them the Super Bowl. So for years and years after that, Pete Carroll saying, oh, if ever in that situation again, I'm going to hand it off. If I'm ever in that situation again. Yeah. Next thing you know, he's got Beast Mode on the bench in this same exact situation. And I think he just freaked out, and it took him. It's like I think he still wanted to pass and let Russell Wilson be in a shotgun or a quarterback sneak and all that shit. But he's also in the back of his head going, "Holy shit! I've always said if I'm ever in this situation again, I'm handing the ball to the man." And so I think it was just such. He was just caught with what he wanted to do. I mean, all he had to do was line up and damn quarterback sneak the thing in there with Russell Wilson. The problem was there was only 22 seconds left and the clock was ticking and they had no timeouts left. So if you don't make it, if you don't make it, then the clock just ticks and you're beat. You know, you're scrambling around just to get a third play.
And that was a pass interference too. Even the linebacker was looking right around to see the flag fly.
Right, definite pass interference call. A definite game changing call, because that would have put him on the 1-yard line with a lot more time and a full force set of downs. Everything.
Stopping the clock is all they needed.
Right. Just to help them regroup at the 1-yard line.
They had just a clock stop for a second. They would have been fine.
So that Saints fans, obviously, with the whole pass interference thing, they're up in a roar. It's got to get behind that. Got it behind us. We didn't get the bye week. Let's move on.
That's right. Just play. That's all.
It's a playoffs.
Playoffs. Talk about playoffs.
Now I've got to throw a little Jim Moore in there. It's fine. We can talk about playoffs. Talk about the playoffs.
Playoffs.
So Drew Brees, man. As far as the Saints go, man, I think this team is on fire at the right time, Webb.
Is the offensive line healthy? What's going on?
Yeah, Pete is back. He played last week. I think they're peaking at the right time. Yeah, he broke his arm, but he came back last week. Arm says bad. The two biggest injuries the Saints had was to the defensive line a while back, Davenport and Rankins. Those guys aren't going to be back, but the linebackers are back. AJ Klein's back. Kiko Alonso should be back for the playoffs. This team, dude, let me tell you something about Drew Brees. I know I went in early in the season and talked about how this would be his last year. He can't really hit the deep balls, all this shit. Man, this dude is playing like he's got the eyes of when Drew Brees is unstoppable, Webb, right now.
Yeah, well, that's because he's only playing. This is only going to be game 11 or 12 for him. That's why he didn't put in a 16-game grind.
Yeah, I think it helped. We talked about it when he sat out and they went 5-0. This might be the best thing that ever happened to Brees. He's playing unbelievable right now. And when he gets disrespected, let me tell you something about Drew Brees, man. When he gets disrespected and he gets the eyes like he's got right now, there's nobody better.
Who's disrespecting him?
They just had the best 100 players in the NFL, and the man ain't in it. And he'll never talk about it, but Saints fans know. This dude, here's his NFL records, Webb. 547 passing touchdowns, NFL record. 67.6% completion record, NFL record. 6,800 completions, NFL record. 77,000-plus yards, NFL record. And this dude doesn't get on the list? He's got a Super Bowl ring.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's got a Super Bowl ring. Yeah, it's not like
the
Marino.
How does he not get on there?
This dude gets disrespected.
How silly it is.
I'm telling you, he will never say it, but I'm telling you, this dude's ready to go on a run. He knows this is it.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't bet against Drew Brees. I don't care if they got a bye week. I don't care where they're playing. I don't care when they're playing. They're going after it. This is just like when I've had that little pep talk to him early in the season when Drew Brees went out and the Saints just went on a run. They're four games away.
You better talk to Lattimore.
Lattimore's all right. He's going to be all over Stephon Diggs' ass this week.
All right. What's that? All right. That was a good pickup getting Jenkins.
Yeah, he's played well. He's played well, way better than Eli Apple's played, that's for sure.
Eli Apple, sorry, yeah, that's
right,
why.
Right. There was a whole controversy down here. Bobby Hebert, the old Saints quarterback, he's like the local radio guy for the,
yeah,
for the Saints, yeah, and everything,
I think,
right?
I knew that, yeah.
So he kind of said something like one day, like, man, it played. If they put Eli Apple on, Eli Apple got hurt a few weeks ago. He said, yeah, if they put him on injury reserve, that'd be the best thing that happened to the Saints. So I was like, man, that's a little over the top. Even Eli Apple's mom chimed in and said some stuff about him. So I don't know. That kind of was a little controversy. But
she was a big star up here. His mom. He got drafted by the Giants.
Right.
And I guess he bought a watch, right? He bought some crazy $100,000 Rolex before he got drafted. So she went on TV and said, before you buy a watch, $100,000, you better get a job. At that point, you're a college dropout, she told her.
Right. Yeah, so I think she's not afraid to chime in on the radio show. So she gave Bobby Hebert some shit, but he tried to clarify. Listen, what I was really saying was this and that, but what he really said was he hopes Eli Apple's hurt and out and back.
Right. There's a reason he's on his second team.
Anyway, man, I would be so disappointed the Saints didn't get this bye week, but I'm telling you, I think Drew Brees is going to be a man on a mission, and I mean, I know this is a homer call. We can talk Super Bowl picks. The Saints are winning the Super Bowl. The Saints are going on a run from the wild card weekend on.
I'm so
they win the Super Bowl.
I'm shocked that that's your pick.
Yeah, I took the Cowboys to start the season. I wasn't bullshitting. I even took under 10.5.
Yeah,
and even up until this shit, the last couple weeks, I'm telling you, this team is ready to roll. Ready to roll. Man, they've fucking been wiping teams out since that. They scored 46 points against the 49ers.
Yeah. The problem is they gave up 48.
Yeah, I know that, but they won't do that again.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Don't worry about
that. That was before Eli Apple got hurt.
Yeah, well, right. That's because if Jerry Jenkins was there.
That was before Jenkins called somebody a retard. We got lucky on that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying.
Right. Can't make it
up. You can't say retard on here.
Not in New York, right.
Yeah. Beep that shit. I'll beep that shit out in post. Yeah,
I'm going to beep it out
in post. You can't say retard.
But right.
We're lucky that he said retard. Up there in politically correct, Bill, the Giants, you got to kick him out.
Yep.
Down here in the South, you can say retard. You can say retard.
You can't do that for the Maris.
Right. I apologize to any handicapped out there, whatever. It's
entertainment purposes only.
Entertainment purposes only. But we reap the rewards of that.
Yes.
It's not like, I mean, they got dudes out there playing for other teams, beat up their women. You know what I mean? This dude on Twitter said retard.
Yeah, they got, you know, caches of guns and drugs,
Right. I think we're all right with this guy.
Right.
I mean, he made a mistake, whatever. But I'll take him. He's way better than Eli Apple.
There's no doubt about that.
So, but you heard, I'm telling you, Webb, I'm not going to harp on this. We're going to talk about the playoffs. We'll talk about it all. The Saints are going on a run. Drew Brees is playing lights out, and he's got, like, I don't want to say the eye of the tiger because everybody says the eye of the tiger, game face, and all this other bullshit. I'm about to come up. This dude is playing like I haven't seen him in a long time. Like he looks fresh. He looks ready, and he's focused.
Yeah, well, it helped
he feels him. Disrespected, I man. He feels disrespected. I don't blame him. And look, there's been great quarterbacks. I'm a huge fan. When I was growing up, I thought Marino and Elway were probably the best of my time. I don't know. We can harp about that. But Drew Brees, just the numbers constantly. And it's not even like they've had good playoff success under Drew Brees. You know, he's got a couple NFC championships. He's got a Super Bowl win. I mean, damn, it's not like a dude that's just never won any games. They've had success here in New Orleans.
Yeah, you're doing some you're providing your own motivation. There's no one disrespecting Drew Brees here. There's no one in the media is disrespecting Drew Brees.
Why are you guys putting down Drew Brees, man? We're the underdogs. That's like they told Dabo Sweeney, like, oh, he's gonna love this shit. He's the underdog. Right. He's gonna love this shit.
Yeah,
well, that's what we are. Right. With no respect. The Saints got no respect. We gotta be. And let me tell you something, Saints fans. Here's the deal, right? You guys want respect for Drew Brees? Guess what? Whoop some ass this week, and then take your ass on the road and beat Aaron Rodgers this week. You want some respect? Go into Lambeau and Drew Brees whoop up on Aaron Rodgers.
He's not playing well.
Respect.
Rodgers.
Well, fuck them. Fuck the Packers. You want respect? You want to be the top one? Go there and beat Aaron Rodgers and then take on whoever you got. I'll tell you, there's a chance the Saints might be back home in the NFC Championship if the 49ers can lay an egg on one of their games. But you want respect? Go up. A lot of people look at Aaron Rodgers as one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Go up there and whoop his ass in the playoffs and let him continue to disrespect you.
Yep.
All right. I don't harp on that too much. We'll get into those games and stuff. The College Football National Championship.
Another thing right up here? Your wheelhouse there. That's like a home game, man. That's crazy.
Who would have thought LSU'd be in there?
Yeah, unbelievable. Man,
if you listened to our show from August, you might have heard something that I might have mentioned 25-1.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's a good – I mean, this is – when it all played out, I guess maybe it did – that health of the quarterback Fields did hurt Ohio State. But that was a great game. Obviously, LSU just beat the shit out of Oklahoma. Right. And then we'll just segue into this Cowboys coach thing. How is Lincoln Riley the hottest coach out there when his team can't stop? Is the head coach not responsible for both sides of the ball?
How
many years in a row has it been that Oklahoma can score 100 and give up 101? So let's get off the fucking Lincoln Riley train here. I mean, it's fine finishing top five. Don't get me wrong, but let's not. This guy isn't fucking, you know.
How do you not? I mean, what's the deal? Do you just scheme that bad, or you just pick all of your best players and put them on offense?
But I don't think so. I think there's pros that go. There's dudes that get picked from the Oklahoma defense.
So you're saying it must be the scheme?
I guess. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I don't. Maybe.
Or lack of emphasis. It's like the Pelicans when every night they go, oh, the Pelicans don't play D. Well, Gentry has been here for five fucking years.
Right.
There's been all different players. And every night he's like, these guys don't really play D. It's like, dude, while in practice you say, here's the deal. You guys are going to play some goddamn D.
Right. Like Mike D'Antoni. That's why you wonder why fucking Harden scores 40 points. He doesn't do anything.
Right.
Shoots the ball in his weights.
But at least D'Antoni doesn't make any bones about it. He's like, here's how we're going to win. We're going to outscore you.
Just let them score in a minute. We're going to score two. Right.
And that's been going back since he was coaching Steve Nash and everybody. Like, that's just overseas. M.O. He's like, we'll score 140. Go ahead and beat us.
Exactly. Yep. So I don't know what's going on with that Lincoln Riley thing. So
speaking of which, I mean, there's been some coaching changes in the NFL. But so far, Jerry Jones is kind of dragging his feet here. I thought you were pretty convinced that – if with no playoffs, that your boy Jason Garrett would be out.
Well, there's no way he's going to be coaching, the head coach of the team. What's going on now is I don't know if they're either trying to find a spot for him in the organization somewhere or whatever. He already, you know, and now it's coming out now that he asked to call the plays this year, and Jerry said no. Jerry's the one who moved Kellen Moore up, so that's why you heard Garrett throw Kellen Moore underneath the bus there after that that Eagles game or whatever it was. So anyway, but Garrett's going to be out. That's just a matter of who or what it's going to be. It's just like literally he's firing his son. He's just taking his time. He's not ripping the Band-Aid off. He's massaging it to get it done. But it'll be done. So it just comes down to who it's going to be. I don't know who it's going to be. And they're afraid if Jerry Jones is going to lose out on whoever.
Yeah, I think maybe they're just holding on to him to wait and see if they don't get the right prospect come around, he might stick around with Garrett for another year or something.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see that because just obviously he loves the guy, but there's no way. His message is stale. It can't work.
There gets to a point where you're just talking to the wall with these guys. I've heard his rah-rah speech before, and it didn't really work before.
It's Charlie Brown's teacher, yeah.
Right.
You see Devin with the Wager Maker shirt?
Yeah, I saw that. I tried to wave her. She walked past.
She's afraid she'll get in trouble. but I did hear something that terrified me today, that Belichick may coach the Giants. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that's what I heard, something about that today. That terrified me. I'm not concerned about Riverboat Ron coaching the Redskins, although he's a better coach than Greg. He's definitely a better coach than Jay Gruden.
Right.
But he doesn't if Belichick would coach the Giants, that would –
right.
That would suck.
That would be tough for you.
That would suck.
For Cowboy fans. But I like Ron Rivera. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good – he's probably the kind of guy, kind of no-nonsense guy that Washington could use, I think. But I think Daniel Snyder – like he probably could use whooping Daniel Snyder's ass a little bit too. You know?
Tell Daniel Snyder to sit in the corner. Give me a check.
Right. Listen. You want to do something? Stay out of my way.
Give the checkbook and sit in the corner and then sit up in the box and I'll see you in a play. You know, I'll see you at 10 wins.
Right.
And I wish, that's what I wish somebody would tell Jerry Jones, but that's just a different animal.
Yeah, no doubt.
I did hear that maybe either Josh McDaniels or Urban Meyer want the
Cleveland job.
Yeah, that Cleveland job's a mess. Yeah, so I heard Urban Meyer's name in that today. They had the Baylor coach that was down here at the Sugar Bowl yesterday. They offered him an interview. He said he's not interested in ordering that, but I think he's a candidate for a couple other jobs too.
Giants, what you're saying here. Right. That's all over up here at the Giants. But I don't know why Josh McDaniels would want that job. Is he from Ohio?
Well, maybe he just feels like with Mayfield and those receivers and Chubb and play. If I was an offensive minded guy, that would be a decent place you could go
and
to.
They got Garrett on defense. They got that corner. I mean, they got pieces for sure. Right. I mean, and if you're going to give you 100 total control, you can kind of crack a whip in there. You might be able to do something.
Man, was that thing a shit show this year? Remember our preseason? Our preseason was like, man, the Browns are looking good, bro. Everybody was on the Browns. Everybody, ESPN, everybody talking about how good the Browns are going to be. Man, that turned to shit.
You know, Colin Cowherd, he's one of these guys, whatever. Yeah. He compares all the time. He says that Baker Mayfield is the same player as Dirk Diggler. Except Mayfield was drafted first. If you look at their stats, both in college. Yep. And in the pros, they're similar. It's funny.
I could see that. You know, we've been on Dirk Diggler. We like that. We like that dude.
Minshew, yeah. Yep. I like him. Yep. I like him.
So I don't know. And I think they said Marone's probably going to keep his job down there in Jacksonville. I was kind of surprised at that because I feel like he really lost that team the last couple of years, it seemed like. And I don't know if Minshew's the guy they're going to use going forward, but –
He's a guy. He just lucks out. It's always somebody else's fault. What was the quarterback's name?
Foles. Well, Foles came down there. That was going to be their big help. He got hurt right away.
Last year, he was fucking horrible.
He's not even a league, huh?
Yeah, I think he's a backup somewhere.
He was from Central Florida. What the hell is his name? I forget. B starts with a B. No.
But it was his fault. And then this year, it's always somebody else's fault. This year, it was Coughlin's fault. So we'll see. So he did get another year. So we'll see what happens this year. And they got a top pick. So
right.
But I don't know how you could trade. I mean, I don't know about that Ramsey trade either. So the GM kept his job too.
Right. Right. So let's see. Also, they announced Quinn at the Falcons is going to keep his job. The Falcons played well enough
in the end of the
season, I guess, to keep that. So that's good for Saints fans.
He's the one that was there. If there's a couple that are worse than Garrett, he's surely the one. Right. No doubt. There's no fucking doubt. I did see something that made me think of you, Smith. Not that I don't think of you just in general, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know you're going to like the –
Oh, yeah. They got some names came out today, just today.
Yeah. Polamalu was the first one. I think that's legit. Reggie Wayne is a finalist. I think that's legit. Leroy Butler. I don't know about all that. Safety from the Packers. It's Torrey Holt, the receiver from the Rams. I guess he was on the Jaguars, too, it says here. Here's one for you. Sam Mills, Smith from the Saints fame for a while. Zach Thomas, Dolphins and Cowboys. Bryant Young, is he really? He's a defensive tackle for the Niners. And then you got Atwater, which I think I would like to see him get in there. Tony Boselli for sure.
Yeah.
Ike Bruce, I think, should probably get in there too, right? Alan Faneca or Fanasia, whatever you say.
Faneca. I think he's playing for the Steelers. I think that's an LSU guy.
Yeah, he should get in there. Steve Hutchinson, I think, should get in there. He's another offensive lineman. Dude looked like he played forever. Edrin James, that's interesting. I wonder if he'd get in. He played from 99, it looks like, all the way to 08. The Colts, the Cardinals, and Seahawks. John Lynch, I know that's one of those guys, you know, Hart guys, obviously from Buccaneers days. And then Richard Seymour, I think he should probably get in too.
Right. Hard to say. I mean, I definitely like the Atwater and Boselli to me are two guys that obviously Boselli was dominant offensive line, you know, when he was played. But Atwater, when we were growing up, he was one of the quintessential like safeties. Ronnie Lott and Steve Atwater of our time were like, that's the way you played football.
Yeah,
you know, so I just feel like certainly Polamalu and Reggie Wayne are no brainers. Sam Mills, interesting. Not only did he play for the Saints, obviously passed away. I think he had cancer or something like that a while back. He passed away. Short guy who's but interesting. I believe he played college ball at Montclair State. Believe it or not, in New Jersey.
I think he played actually for the Generals. I think he played. He had some crazy story on how he got.
Right. He finished his career at Carolina and even coached at Carolina. I think before it was all said and done.
Yeah.
But your boy Zach Thomas. I'm not sure about a couple of these. Zach Thomas. He had a good career, great career. But Hall of Fame is a different.
Yeah, I agree.
A different level. You know. Saying Bryant Young was a really good player. I don't know if.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see him. I mean, was he dominant? He did play 94 to 07. I mean, that's a long time. Right.
And it's interesting to see Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt on the list at the same time.
Yeah.
To me, Isaac Bruce was – they were both on the same team. That's why I say it was interesting. But but to me, Isaac Bruce was a little better player, I don't know, than Torrey Holt.
He played
Holt
longer.
Was,
he was on – I mean, he was putting up numbers, I think, before
that,
they were
– way before they were the greatest show on turf.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. And Edgerrin James, that's speaking of how they look at running backs and all that stuff. He was obviously best on the Colts. It was 99-05.
Right. He was on great teams, obviously.
Yeah, well, Peyton Manning's team.
Right. He was the man. It was Reggie Wayne, him, and Peyton Manning. They had their own three-headed monster.
Yeah, but he did play at 99, and then he finished out with the Seahawks in 09. So that's a pretty long career for a running back.
Right.
I wonder what how his stats stack
hold
up,
I
guess.
I think probably for those few years with the Colts, I would think his stats are there.
Yeah.
Like as good as anybody for that 4 or 5 years,
right.
I would think.
Yep.
Just off the top of my head.
99-05, looks like it's 6 years. Yeah, and those were six good years for sure from University of Miami. I always liked him. I liked him even in college.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Great player. So we got into the bowl games this week, man. We got some of the crappy bowls behind us. Or finally, we told you we're big game players.
That's
we told
right.
you we're big game players. So once we got some of the early bowl games where we're not sure who's playing, what's playing, if they're really motivated or whatnot. These last couple games we've been hitting. Yesterday we lost Auburn, but we had Bama, we had Oregon, we had Georgia.
Yep.
Today we have Cincinnati and Tennessee. Tennessee's close right now. We're all over LSU. I told you bet the farm on it. Yeah, Scott Wheatley got rich on that one.
Yeah.
And we also took Clemson. A lot of people weren't on Clemson in that game. And boy, that was a really good game.
That was great. I mean, that was everything that we had hoped for. We knew that was going to be the toughest matchup for whoever finished second. So we were right on with that. And that was a great game. It was it was one of those where it sucks, somebody has to lose type thing. And we ran down to the wires. It was a great game.
Really great game. I think
hang your head about.
I think we talked about it a little bit. I think Fields being injured was just and Clemson being there before those two things combined was just enough to kind of put Clemson over the top Fields was not nearly as dynamic in this game and the Wisconsin game as we watched him be all season long. He really didn't make too many plays out of the pocket or things like that. Man, that running back obviously for Ohio State is amazing, but same with Clemson. Etienne,
Etienne
is amazing.
Yeah, I mean they're just guys from anywhere, and you saw it even with Fields. So he wasn't the same. He wasn't as dynamic those past two or three games, whatever it was since that injury happened. And I wasn't really buying into it, but it was apparent when you're watching.
Right. Because other games he'd be able to take off with his legs, and against Wisconsin and Clemson, that was not even part of the game.
No,
at all.
Didn't have to. Coming down to that last drive in the second half, they didn't have to worry about it.
Right. And hats off to Clemson too. Number one, we all know what their quarterback is. This dude is awesome.
He's an awesome
player.
He's a good Frankenstein quarterback. That's a dude.
Right. He's like Andrew Luck / Peyton Manning / a whole bunch of dudes, but also can run 50 yards down the field.
Right.
And tough kid, man. He took some tough shots.
He took some tough shots.
And Dabo Sweeney's a pretty good guy to root for. This is a team that you can easily root for, no doubt. And we talked about them being there before, and I think that was a big part. Man, when you get down 16-0 in a game of this magnitude and you don't shit the bed at that point.
Right.
So many teams would have been in the tank at that point. It would have been over.
Wait for them just to make a mistake. You don't even have to do anything. Just let them nervousness and the pressure of the situation take over. And they didn't even, that just kind of motivated them. They stayed focused, and that was the difference. Right. They flipped the script on them. It's what they did.
Yep. They hunkered down. They held them the field goals a couple times when Ohio State could have really put it away, and they just kept it a plan, man. And even like I say, in games this big. Man, that snowball can start building on you, and you get down 16-0, man, and next thing you know, it's a blowout. And this team hung in there, and it was a good. I mean, just a great game. I remember Sharon was in the other room when I was watching, and she was like, "How's the game going?" I was just like, "Man, this is a fucking." It didn't matter. I wasn't even talking about what side we were on. Yeah, I was on Clemson and all that shit, but. That was a good college football game.
I mean, that's when you know it's good. You're kind of even forgetting. Watching as a fan with no rooting interest. You're not a degenerate. You're just watching the game for the pure, the competition of it all.
Great game to watch.
And that's interesting you say that. Now, I wonder, you know, obviously LSU jumped all over Oklahoma. Not that Oklahoma is comparable to Clemson, certainly at this point. But, you know, it just even say that if they get up by those 14 points or whatever it is, they jump out, you know, a couple quick touchdowns or something, the game doesn't go Clemson's way early on. It's interesting and even good, you know, just to know that they'll, you know, their head will be in it for 60 minutes right. or whatever it is. So it won't right. be, you know, a shellacking at least for the fans.
Well, speaking of the witch. We don't have to completely pick this game yet because we'll still have another podcast right. before the LSU Clemson game. So we got a whole full week and a half almost until that game. But I can tell you what I like right now, everybody. Yeah, well, if you listen to this show at all over the last six months,
we were on the game for a week now. Where would the game end? We're on the game for 5 days, whatever.
Well, man, I was so pissed too because that night. It came out on ESPN that at Caesars, the opening line was 3.5. I was like, oh, shit, man, I got to get Webb. But it was, like, late. It was like 1 o'clock here or something, but when I saw that. So I was like, oh, shit. By the time I talked to you the next morning, it was 5.5.
That's where it's at now, yep.
So, I mean, I think LSU playing in the dome.
That's huge.
That's huge. It's unbelievable. I've been here a couple. The LSU's a couple of at least once other. I think twice has won the when they won the national championships was right here in New Orleans with Nick Saban and Les Miles. They beat Oklahoma 1 year and I forget who was the other one. But I've been here for that. It is a nut show down here in the French Quarter for that, and it's going to be in the dome. It's going to be like a home field advantage in the dome for LSU. It's going to be crazy. I think if you want to. I'm pretty sure we're going to take LSU. I'll fight for this one. I don't know what Webb thinks. I'm pretty sure I'm going to take LSU and lay the points. We'll talk about it more next week. But I just feel like
Clemson's – Has Trevor Lawrence ever lost a game?
Never. In college? Never. Never. Not one. Not one. And that's why we picked him last time. That's why we picked him last time.
That is fucked up.
And so now we're giving him five and a half points.
5.5 points. Right.
But I think – Clemson has a great defense, but I don't think they have enough players to stop all the weapons that LSU has. I think the LSU has a great tight end. Randy Moss's son is their tight end.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They got two great guys. They got really three guys on the outside that can just fly all over the place. And they got a quarterback that just hits them.
I mean,
he's so accurate. If you make a mistake, he doesn't miss. They got a great running.
They caught a break too with just kicking Oklahoma's ass. That kid, the running back, didn't even have to play.
He had a hamstring. Lair Johnson or whatever.
Now he's got another. What is it? Another 14 or whatever?
Right.
How much?
Right. He'll be completely healthy. He'll be 100%. He'll be completely healthy. Yeah. Completely healthy. Because he played. He ran a couple times and looked. I mean, he only was like two or three runs or something.
And he looked good.
He looked good then. They just didn't need him.
They didn't need him, right? Why risk him? I agree with that. Yeah. It's never in jeopardy ever.
Right. So I mean, that's gonna be a hell of a matchup. I'm looking forward to it. We knew the 2-3 seed would be a great game. It turned out to be a great game. This should be a great game. We'll see how it turns out. But I really think at the end of the day, LSU's got a little bit too much firepower for anybody. They're just kind of like a team on a roll with this shit. So, you heard it here first. I started out the season this way, and I'm ending it. Saints Super Bowl. LSU.
National championship. Who that? Yep. Down in Norway.
And if you got a problem with that, Nick Perrone, maybe your team should start. Maybe Rutgers and the Jets should start playing a little better.
There you go. Hey, speaking of Rutgers, David Stern died. The old commissioner of the NBA is a Rutgers guy.
Did he go to Rutgers?
Yeah, Rutgers guy.
Man. I did not know that.
Yep, Rutgers guy.
Yep.
So, peace out to David Stern. He did a lot for the league. So.
No doubt. Took him to a new level for sure.
Sure did. Yeah. I heard something today how we just ignored Michael Jordan's gambling.
downfall. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Right. I saw an interesting little meme today, right? So, you know, just because you brought it up here in Michael Jordan, I took a little snapshot of it. Because there's still that debate always online and on social media of the LeBron-Michael Jordan debate.
Silly.
You know? Silly, exactly. So Chauncey Billups, this is a quote from Chauncey Billups. He says, "My thing is, Jordan kept so many Hall of Famers from getting rings, from Ewing to Barkley to Malone.
Yep.
Nobody, right. He said nobody ate when Jordan played full season.
Yeah.
He said, everybody got rings on LeBron's watch. Yeah. Everybody. That's a huge difference in my book. I just thought that was a cool-ass quote. Right.
That's a great point.
So LeBron's getting his, but other people are knocking him off here and there, too.
Michael took him all.
Right. Michael Jordan didn't let these are some of the greatest. We talked about Drew Brees with the ring and Marino not having a ring or whatever.
Like
Ewing, Barkley, and Malone, that's some of the greatest players that ever played a game.
Easily.
Played at the wrong time.
Yep. Came up against the wrong guy in the finals.
Yep. So I just thought that was it was a great quote. And so I just snapshot. And since you brought up Jordan just now, I was like, oh, we're going to have to. Let me see if I can pull this up. So some great games, man. Some of these college football games, we talk a lot about them, you know, not meaning stuff to the guys in the end and stuff like that. But I was kind of heard Jalen Hurts after the game with LSU, and it was he was at a press conference afterwards. He was kind of teary eyed and kind of he said, man, I came here to win a championship, and I told Coach I would come here and win one with him. What hurts the most is usually when you lose, you can come back and work to fix it. I won't be able to fix it because I'll never play another college football game again.
Yeah.
That dude kind of did things the right way when he left Alabama.
Yeah, he didn't play wrong.
He didn't leave in the middle of the season or jump ship, anything like that. In fact, he played some good games for the
last season.
Yeah, at the end,
yeah.
So we've been kind of rooting for him this year a little bit, and he got beat up pretty good, and the championship game didn't go his way. But I just thought that was a cool quote when we talk about some of these kids, and they're all talking about – you know, everything's talking about contracts and NFL, and surely he'll have a chance to be dealing with some of that stuff too. But I just thought that was a cool quote by him.
Good for him.
I get a little. So I thought that was pretty cool. it probably sounded better coming from him than from me.
Your point across. We got it.
So let's see. We're watching games this week. We talked about San Francisco, dude. The Cowboys, right? So I just thought it was funny too. We talked a couple weeks ago about how far we've come in sports, and that even just the ticker on the bottom of the screen with the scores, they didn't used to have that when we were watching football and all this shit, right? Yeah. So I'm watching the Cowboys game, right? And they actually said the Cowboys organization said they're not going to put up the score because the Eagles game and the Cowboys game were kind of coincided with each other, and it was a big deal whether the Eagles were winning and the Cowboys were winning or whatnot. So they weren't putting the score up in the stadium at the Cowboys game, and they said they weren't gonna put the score up in case it was like a good for so it would inspire the crowd. Like in other words, if the Eagles were down, they would put the score up so the crowd would get into it more. So but how ridiculous is it?
Right.
In today's day and age, that they don't think the 80,000 people there already know what the damn score is.
Of course, they got on their phone. Exactly.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah,
like the players on the sideline even know. Yeah. The guy's sitting there with a phone next to him.
Right. Exactly. Right.
His agent's sitting next to him with a phone.
Exactly.
Hey, what's the Eagles score? Well, they're winning. Oh, okay.
Right. Fuck. Right.
I just thought that was funny. They actually the organization. Well, we're not going to put up the score unless
I think that's more just we're going to play this little fake facade game here to
get people into it.
Right.
Oh shit. Right. So news in the NBA. Well, local news in the NBA. I don't know if everybody. Zion is on the court. The Zion days might be here soon. They play the Lakers tomorrow night. I think that'll be too soon. He had his first regular practice yesterday. I think his first full practice. And so maybe within a week or a couple weeks, maybe he'll be back on the court a little bit. I hope because of where they're at. I'm sure they won't rush him. And there's no reason to him, just get him some run before the season's over, so we can see what happens with that.
Got another good pick looking like next year too. So
yeah, could be right in the lottery again. That'd be great.
Yeah, perfect. That'd be great.
What they need to do is get rid of Gentry. That's what they need to do.
It's amazing, just the same old record.
Although I was against them the last three games, and guess what the fucking Pelicans did?
Easy.
They went on a three-game – I think they went on a four-game win streak.
We bet against them. It'd be 82-0.
God damn. Every day last week I lost to the Pelicans.
And they beat some good teams too.
No, it was games – it wasn't like they were playing mediocre. They were playing good teams and beating them. Yeah. Oh, man. Story of my life.
Yep.
So early in the in the bowl season, Louisiana Tech actually shut out. We were talking about, I was like, oh, we'll take the Louisiana team. They shut out Miami, the Hurricanes. And then Florida State, how far has these teams?
Dude, that's amazing how bad that they're. I mean, Miami at least has been bad. That seems like a long time. They won eight games is a big deal. But Florida State is only like the second year, right?
Right. Just fall off the map. Jimbo Fisher knew what he was doing when he got the hell out of there.
I guess he did. Yeah. I mean, jeez.
Right.
And then the Memphis coach took that job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So and Memphis has been pretty good the last few years. They've always had a pretty good offense for sure. So we'll see if he can get something going on. I was talking to somebody the other night about that, because somebody kind of really knows about college football and he works in recruiting and stuff like that. And he said the issues with Miami and Florida State is some of these other schools, right? The Penn States and the Notre Dames and things, right? So they got these like donors that they've been around for 100 years.
Yep.
So they got like old money that contributes to
generational
their program.
Money.
You know, yeah, that contributes to their program. And Florida State fans think they've been around forever, but they really kind of haven't. And Miami, you know, they've been around since our lifetime.
Right.
But this shit hasn't been going on for 100 years, where these other people have these endowments that really send money to them over and over and over again. So it's a lot harder for them to rebuild from a situation like this than even like Penn State was almost like in the shutdown almost. But within a few years of being back, they're almost back in the national in the national scene.
I mean, they're there. They were flirting with the playoff. I mean, for a while, a couple of weeks. So they're certainly knocking on the door. Much closer
so
than
that's
Florida State
I thought that was pretty interesting that he said that, because it does make sense.
It does.
That the Florida States and the Miamis of the world don't have that old money coming in. It's still it's still a fairly new alumni base, a fairly young alumni base as far as that goes. But And then, like we were talking about, speaking of Penn State also, we were talking about how some teams show up for bowl games and some don't. So, and sometimes you're just watching them. Within the first 5 minutes, you're on the wrong side of that.
Yeah, they're not engaged.
Right. Yep. We had Penn State, and Penn State ended up covering everything. But within the first few minutes, the announcer said, when you're talking to the Memphis coaches in that game, the coaches said, it's the biggest game in their school history. The Penn State, I think, I don't know, it wasn't an Alamo Bowl, but some shit that Penn State couldn't care less that they're in.
Right.
And Memphis coaches are billing this as the biggest game in school history, and you're just like, oh, we're fucked on it. We're so screwed on this.
Right. Whoops, wrong side.
Yeah. Meanwhile, our guys are like letting second stringers play just to get some run for next year.
Go ahead, man. My back's hurting. Go ahead.
But that's why we do better in the big games, ladies and gentlemen, because that shit doesn't happen in the big games. That's why
Not
too many people were 2-0 in the Clemson and Clemson and LSU situation.
Nope.
So we're in, and good news for you is we got more picks, and now we're on to the biggest games, NFL big games, Webb.
Yes, sir. We still do have a couple of there's some small lower level bowl games. You want to knock them
out? Yeah, let's hit those out first. Yep.
Yeah, let's get rid of them real quick.
I think we got a couple of my Louisiana teams in here, too, in these last couple.
Yes, and I do. I think I like both of them, actually. So there's one tomorrow, I guess. The third is the Potato Bowl. There you go, Smith Potato Bowl.
That's at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. I'm looking at
That's Saturday. That's too late. Okay. Yeah, that's in Fort Worth. That's fucking early, right?
Right. All right, go ahead. We got Ohio and Nevada.
Yeah, Ohio and Nevada in Boise, Idaho. I was listening to Sharps. Were saying that they wanted to go over the game opened, I think, at 7:54, and everyone jumped on Ohio, went to 8, and it went shot away all the way up to 59. The quote I heard, I liked Nevada before I heard this. The quote I heard was that these are two programs going in different directions. So that scared me. So I don't know what your feeling is on this one.
I don't have a lot of feeling. I'm looking at the schedule, the last 5-6 games here. Ohio's 3-5, 3-2. So is Nevada. I don't have. Oh, I do. I was going to ask you, Webb. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
New Year's resolutions? No, not really.
I have one. You know what it is?
Okay.
We're going to take more points in 2020.
All right. Okay. Well, there you
go. We're taking more points in 2020. Well, I'm not saying we have to do that. I'm just saying with the coin flip freaking games, we're going to take some points.
That's a good one. I can get with that. Let's take Nevada.
My New Year's resolution. All right. Nevada plus the.
That was my initial gut reaction anyway. So.
All right, fair enough. Because Ohio's 6-6, Nevada 7-5. Not that matters too much. But,
let's take the plus the 8.
Plus the 8. All right. And then down south, we got the Armed Forces Bowl. I saw Tulane has some like on their emblem on their helmets kind of camouflagey. But it's still that green and light blue shit. But it's kind of camouflagey looking green and blue. I guess they're for the Armed Forces and stuff. They play Southern Miss.
Is that Tulane's a conference favored game? By 7. Is Southern Miss in their conference?
I would think they used to be at least,
right,
huh?
Maybe that's
that Conference USA, but I don't know. Did Southern Miss move into?
Are they in
now?
The AAU?
Now it's called something different. It's called something different now, but
I think they. I guess what's Southern Miss's record? 7-5.
Southern Miss is 7-5. Tulane 6-6.
Tulane is 6-6.
Yeah, Southern. Well, they got the 6 wins pretty early, and then they lost. But they had some tough ones down the stretch, right? They had 4 of their last 5 games where they had Navy, Temple, UCF, and SMU.
So that's and they're all conference games.
Yeah,
right?
So that's kind of a gauntlet in that program.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Navy was playing lights out too at that point.
Right.
Let's take Tulane. Fuck it. Let's just lay to 7. That lefty can bomb away all he wants.
Fair enough. We'll move on. Miami of Ohio.
Purposes only. These are just small, just to get us kill some time.
Yeah. These will be the ones that we lose, so we got to bail out on the NFL playoffs instead of going hard on it.
Yeah. We'll be down.
I'm like, please. Instead of being like, oh, I hope the Saints win today. It's like, oh my God, if the Saints don't win, I owe a million. Right.
Yeah. They have to win. Yeah. Give me the over two. Yeah,
all right. So Louisiana's favored by 14 over Miami.
14. I mean,
Ohio.
That's how. And it's in. I don't know what's going on with these. It seems like. Did every team in that conference get a bowl? Like Miami, Ohio got a bowl. Ohio. This is like Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, right?
All you need is 6 wins.
Yeah, but geez, I just see like the whole entire conference got it. The line is telling me something. Let's lay the points here. And, you know, we just talked about taking points. Let's lay the points.
We talk about it a lot, but it doesn't mean anything. All right. Yeah. We're going Louisiana.
I like those guys.
They've been
good
to us. Those Louisiana teams have been good to us. That's the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, all right. I like them.
Yep. And even Louisiana Tech was good against us, like we talked about before, over Miami, the Bulldogs. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think they'd shut them out, but they won. All right, so that's the 3 games.
Easy enough. All right. On to the big boys.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
NFL, Web, NFL.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This Saturday, to me, just looking at it, came easy. I'm not saying the games are easy, but it's my leans came easy to me. Sunday, not so much. Saturday came easy.
I like points.
Yes, me too. I sent you some stats. I don't know what it was, but in terms of the totals, I think Buffalo or Tennessee, 8 of its last 9 since Tannehill took over, they 8 of those 9 games have gone over the posted total. And the Patriots, 4 of their last 5 games, surprisingly enough, have gone over the posted total.
I'm cool. We got a weather report in New England for Saturday. It looks like 56 and rainy, but 56 and man, if it's 56 in New England, that ain't nothing. That total is not high. It's 44.5. It's like middle of the road.
Yeah, the thing that terrifies me about that game is the kicker. Both kickers, I guess.
Right. All you need is a couple missed kicks on that game.
All of a sudden you're at 38 instead of, 45 or whatever it is, 30, 41 instead of 47, something like that. But let's start with Buffalo. Buffalo and the Texans. What are you thinking there?
Man, I like the Bills. I like the way they play. I like their defense. I love their defense. I like Josh Allen. I think he's an athletic quarterback. I think he can make plays with his legs. And what I liked was, they had a huge game against New England a few weeks ago and went to New England and they lost that game. But they didn't lose because they were
outclassed or
whatever. Right. They didn't lose because they were overwhelmed by the situation.
Right. They're winning. You know? They're playing a good team at home and they right. you know,
they came up a little short. Right. They almost
they
won.
Lost. That's right. All.
Exactly. Exactly. They showed me a lot. Although J.J. Watt is coming back for this game, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I did see that. I don't know. He hasn't had the kind of season that he's had in the past, and plus he's coming off the that injury. I think that dude Merciless or whatever his name is hurt too. The two players that scare you on this team are obviously the quarterback Deshaun Watson and then Hopkins.
Hopkins, right?
And the thing with Hopkins is that the Bills guy, what's his name? Treverius, whatever his name is.
I think it's White.
White's his last name. I think his first name is Treverius or Tredarius, something like that. But White, he's good.
That dude can play.
Yeah, he's
eligible. He can ball out.
Yeah, so that guy, they think that kind of, that's a push. That's an even thing. And I think the defense, I think the Texans were 2-6 at home. And did I send you something on that? And the Bills were 6-1-1 on the road?
Yeah, Texans are 2-6 at home against the spread.
Right.
And Buffalo's 6-1-1 on the road against the spread this year.
And just if you add all that up, and I felt like betting the Bills anyway, it just means a very easy pick on the Bills.
I like it.
I have 2.5 here and 44.
Hopefully that gets man, I hope that was that like 3.5 a couple of days ago. I hope that gets back to 3.
We're going to buy that to 3. That is the major play on that game.
Do you have any feel on the total on that one?
I would go under. I don't know. I think the Bills. But Houston's defense sucks, especially their pass defense. But I don't know that the Bills are going to look to get into a shootout-type game. They're not going to throw the ball all that much, except on third down, I would think. I mean, they got Beasley and they got John Brown. I would lean under, but I would lead in this.
I'm gonna lean. If you're leaning under, I say we lean away from that.
All right, fine. We'll just stick with the Bills.
All right. And then we talked about. I mean, are we really gonna? We're gonna take.
I have 5 here and 44.5. The kicker, you know, the Tennessee kicker scares the shit out of me, but the New England kicker isn't actually lights out either. Special teams obviously is going to be won by the Patriots and the coaching. This is tough. I'm going to go over for sure, over the 44.5, and then I'm thinking Tennessee.
Okay, I think it's very unlike us to go Tannehill over.
Yeah, right.
Over Tom Brady, but. I'm okay. I'm okay taking the Titans. I think New England has played that bad down the stretch that,
But I mean, it's not even just, I mean, I'm looking at, they do, I mean, their offense is good. Not even.
They got that, like a tight end and a wide receiver on that team. That's young and they just make plays right. All the time. Right. Right.
So they're not,
not even talking about him.
They're not going to ask Tannehill to do it by himself. They're not going to ask the receiver. I mean, Stephon Gilmore is a badass on defense for the Patriots, but. I think, you know, people say it all the time. Maybe this is a year that catches up to them, and we're getting 5 points, so the Patriots could win this game by a field goal, and we could still get, and they could still move on.
Titans can catch up on them, and Tom Brady can be the huge superhero and win by 3.
Absolutely. You know,
we'll pick him again in week 2.
Yeah. Down by 5.
Pick against them again.
Whatever it is.
All right, fair enough. We got the Titans in the over.
Perfect.
Something else.
Perfect. And then that's going to bring us to Sunday when I'll let you kick this one off.
What number you got on this?
8 and 49.5.
I'm not going to do.
They're not going to lose. The Saints are not going to lose again.
Right.
So.
And this could be, it could certainly be one of those games in the dome where Cousins just gets devoured and tosses up the ball a couple times.
Here's the thing. If this was 8 o'clock Saturday night, I would be all over the Saints.
Right.
Late at night. He just, the dude, apples up. He can't do it. I think it's to the Vikings' advantage that it's the 1 o'clock game. It's the less of the hype.
Yep.
That game will be kicked before the water starts boiling and the pressure starts getting jacked. That does play, you know, especially when you're comparing him to Drew Brees. I'd much rather have this game be the 8 o'clock Saturday night game and let Drew Brees face off against Kirk Cousins in the dome, you know, laying 8 points.
Kirk Cousins is probably the reason why it's at noon.
Right.
In Central Time. If it was Tom Brady and Breeze or one of these other guys and Breeze.
So having said that, I get, you know, I can't – so that I'm just betting it's going to be more than 8 or less than 8. So I guess I'll take the Saints. I don't have any problem doing that.
All right, we'll take the Saints. I'm just going to let everybody – go light on that one. Go light on the Saints.
Yeah. What do you think of the total?
I'm leaning over. If the game goes bad for the Saints, it's going to be a high – I think the Saints, the way they're playing right now, they can put up 30 against anyone.
Yeah, they got a good defense.
Even Minnesota's defense.
Yeah. All right,
even because if you think about that game, the playoff game 2 years ago, that was in Minnesota, and Drew Brees kind of got shut down in the first half. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get anything going, and they realized what was going on at halftime, and man, they came out and they scored all over the Vikings. And Vikings defense then was just every bit as good as it is now. I think the Saints
better.
Offense is clicking on all cylinders now. I think the Saints will put up points, whether or not. And I think it could be. I think this one could be a track meet because if the Saints get up, then Cousins is going to have to start throwing, and that's going to lead to points one way or another.
All right. I'm just going to lay off. I'll lay off.
That. All right. Fair enough.
And then his next one is hard too. They're both banged up. The Seahawks have Marshawn Lynch running the ball, but they are good on the road, man.
Yep. And Russell Wilson, man, I love that dude. He's a gamer.
And I'm trying not to let my anti-Philly feelings.
But.
This is kind of right on. I mean, if you look at the numbers, statistics, the Seahawks defense isn't very good, right? I don't know, man. This is a tough one. What are you thinking?
I'm leaning on the home team on this one, I think. Just for the fact that they're the home team. And now they've won 4 in a row, the Eagles, right? But it was the Giants twice, the Cowboys, and the Redskins.
Right. And the only team they beat, they didn't beat any of them decisively.
No, every game was a game.
But
every game was a ball game.
Quarter, I think even against the against the Cowboys.
Right.
I'd like Seattle in this one. I think that the better players.
Seattle's lost. Seattle's lost 3 of their last 4 games, and the only win was a six-point win at Carolina.
Yeah, they're trending different ways, obviously, but they're so beat up, the Eagles. Like, they have no receivers.
Well, I think you could say the same again about the Seahawks.
Well, just the running
back.
They
pulled dude, right. Dude hasn't played in 2 years, in a year and a half to play running back.
Yep.
I think
they had the same situation against the Niners, and technically you give them another 2 seconds and they win.
Right. Well, that's Russell. I mean, that's how much I believe in Russell Wilson too. But I kind of believe in Carson Wentz that way too, to try and find a way to get something done.
Yeah, but I just don't know that he can do it with though. Is Zach Ertz playing?
I don't know.
I mean, that's huge.
I don't know. My gut on this one is just saying, I feel like Seattle's the better team, but a Philadelphia team at home in the playoffs can be really a tough team to go against.
I'll let you pick it, but my lean is Seattle.
All right.
And I do think is it going to go over? I think it will go over just based on they're going to start throwing the ball around because the Seahawks can't really run it. And I don't think the Eagles want to run it. So
I'll tell you what, I'll let you, I was leaning under. So if you want, I'll let you take the total and we'll take the Eagles.
All right. So we'll go Eagles and the over.
Yeah.
Where do you want to switch it and go Eagles, Seattle and the under?
I think we take the home. Let's take the home team.
That's fine. The points, no problem. And we'll buy.
Let's take the home team. Home team Sunday. Home team Sunday.
Make it by one. We'll all be happy.
We got the Bills. We got the over in Titans. We got the Titans. We got the Saints. We got the Eagles, and we got the over Eagles.
Yes.
All right. And the little crappy college football games. We got Nevada, Tulane, and Louisiana.
Yep. That's a hell of a weekend right there.
All
right,
man. Let's do this. It's postseason. Let's get this shit done.
That's right. Lights are on. Big players make big plays in big games.
This is us. We're big players, and this is big games.
Damn right. Damn right.
I want to wish everybody a happy 2020. Happy New Year. John Groh, thanks for the bumper music all this time. iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Check our picks on sportswatchmonitor.com. You can check out our picks also on Instagram and our Twitter. Tune in radio also. Devin is going to tell you about how to listen to us on YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Devin. Web, postseason, bro. This is where we take control.
This is it.
2020 is our year, bro.
Yes, it is. 2020, the year, the Wager Makers year. The year of the Wager Makers.
2020. We're blowing up this year, bro. We're blowing the fuck up.
This is it. You saw it here first. You saw it here first.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Web, take us out.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, Happy New Year. And who dat, Smith? Who dat?
Who dat, baby? Let's do this. Playoff time.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?